understand the depth of what God is speaking to our heart. I want to speak to you about the three enemies of your soul. The three enemies of your soul. And follow along with these scriptures because it's going to help you. Because those enemies are relentless. They keep coming at you. And they try to destroy your faith, your hope, and your love. They try to command your life to be in such a way that you're confused about your walk with God. You're confused about how you feel about yourself, and you really don't realize what's going on because they're so sharp at what they do. They're so good, these emotions. They're so good at how they deal with the human mind. In Matthew 21:21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. That's a strong statement by the Lord. I mean, I remember driving across 80, bringing antiques from Ohio back to California to stock my antique store. And there's a mountain when you come out of Utah. And you see this, it's called the Mile High Mountain. And I started trying to cast that thing into the sea. I'd say, move, get out, just go away. And then the Lord spoke to me one time about after four trips of trying to do that. And he said, I'm not going to move that mountain for you because I put it there. And it has nothing to do with your faith here. I'm not going to push that mountain away. And then somebody's going to say, where'd the mountain go? And then all of a sudden, they're going to say, Dennis Adams went ahead and just cast that mountain into the sea. There's something figuratively here that we have to look at. Jesus just came by a fig tree. And he walked up to the fig tree in the prior scriptures there. You'll see that. And literally, starting with verse 18, literally in the same chapter 21 of Matthew, he spoke to the fig tree and said, you're done. Because you didn't give me anything to eat. And they were like, wondering about this because it wasn't the fig's season yet to give fruit. But in Jesus's walk, he created that fig tree. He put it together on this earth. And he was walking by. He figured, you're going to give me some figs because I created you. And you're going to produce. Now, let me be spiritual here for a minute. God created you and I. And sometimes God speaks to our heart to do something and we just don't produce. Now, he's not going to wipe you off the map, but just take this thought for a minute. When God comes by, he created you and he finds us unproductive. There is a scripture in the New Testament that talks about where they ask, can we have one more year? And if it's not productive, we will put the axe to the root. In other words, let's give it a chance to do this. And I believe God every day gives us chances to produce for him. Amen. He wants us to do something for him. You know, it's not just waking up in the morning, going through your day, whether you work or whether you don't, whether you have a full-time parental job or whether you have a secular job, whatever it may be. You know, God wants to bless you. He wants you to produce. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to speak to you. And so I want you to take those thoughts for a moment because something blocks all this. Now, the fig tree has no emotions. Okay? It doesn't have a mind, a soul. It doesn't have a heart. Referring to the tree that did not produce after a year to put the axe to the root, does not have a soul, a mind, or a heart. It has life, because everything that God touches has life of its own way. And what he curses does not have life anymore. But we're not here about talking about curses. We're talking about life, our life before God and how we should produce. And how important it is. So in Matthew 10:31, it says, do not fear, therefore you are of more value than these sparrows. Again, he's talking about this whole situation in Matthew 6 to where everybody's freaking out that they don't have enough. How am I going to get what I need? I mean, these questions go on today. People struggle and march on and do that what they can and sometimes push people out of the way to get what they want, what they feel they deserve in the secular world. And they think they got to have all of this and all of that. They got to be better than their neighbor. You know, when I was growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, you know, I was just a young boy. I'm still young. I know you what you said that, but I'm still there. And my family has a meeting. So all my brothers are there. I have four older brothers. And my mom and my dad are there. And they say something like, you know what? We all got to work hard so we can be better than the Joneses. So I thought for a minute, I'm the youngest in the family. I'm the baby, right? You know, was treated as such. That's not always a blessing, by the way, if you have four older brothers. But there I was, and, you know, so I just rose my hand up because my dad was there, and I better raise my hand up or my hand's going to get slapped if I don't, okay? So I raised my hand up, and I knew the whole neighborhood. I knew everybody in the neighborhood, everybody. I mean, I was up and down the neighborhood, the streets, some yards I wasn't allowed in because they didn't want me to run around with their children because obviously their children was bad and I was good. But the idea of it is that I was not allowed to go anywhere. I knew everybody's name. And so I rose up my hand and I said, Mom. She looked at my father and said, he's going to talk. And my dad said, okay. And I said, who are the Joneses? You see, and I didn't realize it was just an analogy. You know, that whoever the Joneses were, they had more than we did, and we need to work hard to be better than the Joneses. So this whole society that we still live in is this climb higher than your neighbor. Don't tell them about Jesus. Make sure you have more than they do. A better yard, a prettier house, a bigger car, finer education. But you know, as Christians, God will bless us. But we start to worry about what we don't have. And Jesus brings this metaphor. He brings this to us to literally state, hey, you know what? God will take care of you. Look, more so than the sparrows. More so than what Solomon was arrayed with. The flowers are much more beautiful than all of Solomon owned. What he was really ending up saying in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. All the blessings that you seek. But what we do is we allow things to get in our way in seeking the kingdom of God. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But the idea of it is that we have to look at what's going on. So we have fear in our heart that comes along and says, don't do this. You're afraid. You're not going to make it. It begins to dictate to your faith. Don't do this. You need more. You need to put your thoughts and your patterns and what you think is important in different locations. Don't be looking in the Bible. Don't care about church. Don't care about your neighbor. Care about yourself. Totally opposite of what God says in the Word. We should put ourselves last. We should promote others better than ourselves. You know, and it's important that we do that. And the church needs to be really alive with faith. And then in Matthew 6, in Matthew 6, 26 and 27, look unto the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Okay? So literally, he goes on to say, you are not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? In other words, you're not going to get any bigger by worrying. You're going to become less, is what he was bringing there. You're going to be less. So we have fear and worry starts to marry one another because we're looking to do more on our own. We're not trusting God like we should. Am I ministering to anybody this morning? I can see hungry faces today looking for pizza. Can I tell you right now that literally it's more important to feel what God wants for our life every day and to keep it that way. So let's take a journey together for a moment. Let's you and I take a journey about taking these enemies and revealing them, because they're the enemy of our soul, which daily strike your walk with Jesus. Daily. I deal with this all the time with people. We all deal with this. There's no pastor that does not go through these things. But we don't allow them. We should not allow them, whether a pastor or not. We should not allow them to control us, to be afraid and to miss God's blessing. If our worry and anxiety fight against our peace, then worship fights for our peace. Let me read that again to you. Very important. If our worry and anxiety fight against our peace, then worship fights for our peace. Don't let the weather of life dictate your worship. We do not worship because the weather is good. We worship because He is good. Now you think about that. Some people come into church and if things aren't going right, they're worrying, they're doubting, and they're in fear. Their worship is horrible. Their face looks like, I don't want to be here. Instead of raising their hands like this, they kind of go like this. You know, they're not sure. If there's a dance that breaks out in church, they sit down and everybody else dances because they just have allowed the weather of life to dictate to them that they don't have any power to worship God. Every day that we get up, you and I should worship God. We should thank God for another day. We should thank God for what we do have. We should thank God for our children, our grandchildren. You know, Kathy and I are going to be blessed with another grandchild any day, any moment, actually. And how exciting it is. Another grandchild will be our eighth. Another one to love and to hold and to speak the word into their life. I said to my grandchild, Faith Ann, who was with us last night, I said, do you know that God loves you? And she looked at me and she goes, yeah. I said, do you know that Jesus loves you more than anything? She goes, yes, He does. She's 4 years old. You know what I mean? We're teaching our young people already. We're saying into their hearts the importance of getting into their heart that there needs to be a different kind of fear in our life, not the fear that paralyzes us, but a fear that fears God. That we want to walk with God, we want to talk with God, we want to be embraced with God. Can I preach a moment? That we literally have a King of Kings and the Lord of Glory that's in our life. That we fear Him. We love Him. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. He wrote the book. He made the plan. He invited us in. Praise God. He loves you and I. But there's these enemies that try to stop us. The enemies of our soul are doubt, fear, and worry. Three enemies supplies fuel to the word anxiety. Oh, I just think for a moment how many people have talked to me. I'm having an anxiety attack. I'm going to my doctor to get medication. You know, there's all this medication you can take for anxiety. Most of it will string you out on that medication. And so for you to get off, you're going to have anxiety trying to get off. So it's a vicious circle. But listen what the Bible says about it. There's a spiritual pill you can take in the Bible found in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. What does that mean? Praise Him all the time. And let me remind you, keep praising Him. Don't let worry and doubt and fear enter into your life because it's going to stop you from praising God. You're going to worship fear. You're going to worship doubt. You're going to worship worry. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just sing honor unto His name. Let's glorify his name. Let's join with the psalmist and just sing the praises unto God, because he is worthy of praise. Let us enter into his courts with praise and into his house with thanksgiving. Let's just bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Why? He delivers out of all our iniquities. He heals us of all our diseases. Oh my God, it's amazing what God does for us, and we read it in the Word and how excited we get. So again, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Wow. Let your kindness, in other words, be known to everybody, because the Lord's right there. How many think that God's really far away and you got to run real distance to get to him? He is as close as the mention of his name. You just say the name of Jesus and you can sense the radiance of his power and his love and his kindness and his mercy in our life. Fear and doubt and worry drive you away from the kingdom of God's principles. It says, you know what? You're afraid, you're worrying, and you know, you spend all day long speaking about your worry. You know, sometimes you see somebody coming and you know they're bringing the worry drama with them. You kind of just don't know how to get out of it. You know, here comes the worry drama. Here comes the fear drama. Here comes all this stuff. And then what they're going to do is they're going to lay it on you. Let me tell you, the best place for you to go when you're in all that kind of prison, take it all to God. It says it right next. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In other words, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it, but it's going to come in and it's going to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, our ally is what really is our ally is that we have is faith, hope, and love. We have to have faith in the Word of God. I believe every word in this book. I believe Jesus saves souls. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. I believe that. So if you're feeling afflicted today, God's on his way to deliver you. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. He is the deliverer of our heart and soul. We're not controlled by the fear and the doubt and the worry that the world wants to give us. You go to work sometimes on a secular job and the employer lays something on you and you think, am I going to get fired? I didn't like the way he looked at me. You go to your friends and they look at you and they say, did he speak to you? And now you're getting fearful. And now you start doubting your ability to do the job well. And this can happen in any aspect of life. You can have a relationship with someone and all of a sudden fear hits, worry comes, and doubt comes that this relationship is good or bad. And you start taking the bad side. You start flipping out and freaking out and saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? I'm so afraid. I did not like the way. How come they didn't say I love you today? Maybe they just didn't. Maybe you just looked at somebody and your partner and your wife and you said, I love you, and your wife just kept on walking. Does that mean that she doesn't love you? But no, our mind wants to go to that level immediately. We want to go, oh my gosh, there was no response. You send a text to somebody and they don't text you back right away. You go, they're mad at me. I'm really worried about this. Maybe my text didn't read right. You know, it's just amazing. Or you may lose your job and on your way home, instead of having faith in getting another one, you have fear in not being able to continue. Always walk in faith. Always gain faith. Know that what God has promised you, how many's got a promise of God in this building? What God has promised you, that you are able to receive this promise because God has spoken it. Don't let fear destroy the promise of God. Don't let doubt tell that promise to get out. Don't let worry get all over you because, oh my gosh, I'm so worried how this is going to happen. What are we going to do? Have faith in God. Have a hope in the promise of God. Have that hope. You know, the hope that we have is that Jesus is in the harbor and we're anchored to him. And so when any storm comes, we're anchored to Jesus Christ and he is not going to let us go. I mean, friend of mine, I have gone through some stuff in my life. I have gone through some stuff in ministry. I have seen money come, money go. I have seen things happen that shouldn't have happened. I woke up in the morning thinking everything's going to be great. By the end of the day, I am freaking out. My wife's over there praying, oh God, get him back to where he needs to be because he's freaking out. Now he's freaking me out. See, worry and doubt and fear are contagious even if this person doesn't want to receive it. Because you get it all over there. And you know, I know a lot of people don't like to talk like this. They don't want to mention this kind of stuff. They, you know, you walk up, how you doing, friend? He says, oh, I'm doing great. But you know they're not because they're, I'm doing great wasn't as vibrant as it was 2 or 3 days ago. When you first talked to him 2 or 3 days ago, he said, how you doing, friend? He goes, man, I'm doing great. God's on the throne. This thing's happening. Praise God. 3 days later, I'm doing great. 4 days later, how you doing? He said, I'm not sure God's in this at all. Because things aren't working the way we see them working. You see, God will take you some places to make you be able to receive what he has for you. You see, back there 2 weeks ago, you weren't ready to really receive what he had for you. So now you're going through something that's changing your character. And all of a sudden, your character is being changed by God. For when he does want to bless you, when he wants you to be strengthened and receive the fullness of his promise, your character is able to receive it. Amen. Don't hurry God. Be patient with God. Don't walk ahead of God. Walk with God. If God says sit, don't say how long. Just sit.
That's right.
I mean, I can take you through Elijah's life. He was a mess. Elijah was so insecure. It was incredible. But God used this guy in his insecurities to do something great. He got so insecure he was hiding in a cave. I mean, I know a lot of people that go to church, I'm going to say it, that are cave dwellers. You know, they come hiding in a cave. He's there. And he comes out and God doesn't bring a storm, doesn't bring an earthquake, doesn't bring fire. God speaks to him in a still, small voice. What are you doing here? He said, I'm the only one left. So I'm protecting this. That's what an insecure person does. I'm protecting this myself. God said there's 7,000 more, just like you, that have not bent a knee to Baal down in the valley. He said, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your cave of fear and doubt and worry. I mean, this guy has seen miracles. He ran so fast, he ran ahead of the horses. I mean, imagine that. But he was afraid of Jezebel. But let me tell you something right now. The point being that he listened to God and he said, go down now because your anointing now is to go and anoint kings and priests and Elijah. Can you imagine how he felt at that point? Oops. Have you ever had an oops moment with God in prayer? Where you're up there telling God what's up, and God says something back, and you go, oops. And the next words out of your mouth is, I knew that. I was just kind of playing around, you know. Don't do that with God. Listen, walk. Listen and walk and speak what God has for you in your life. Don't just think it. Listen, walk it, and speak it. What God has for your life. So when these three enemies come into your heart, you know that God really loves you. Man, does he love you. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that we would have a life and that life more abundantly. And when the enemy comes to steal, destroy, and to kill. Jesus said, no, I've come, they're my family, and I'm going to give them a life that's more abundant. They're joint heirs with me. They don't have to worry about anything. All things work together for good for those who are called. We have to understand something. If you believe you are part of the kingdom of God, am I making any sense to anybody today? If you believe you are part of the kingdom of God, you have to understand that there are principles in the kingdom that protect you. Angels of God protect you. I believe there's angels in this room right now. I believe there's angels protecting this service. I believe God's mercy and grace undergirds our steps. And I believe faith opens up doors before us. And His love carries us through. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus, He did something for us. He gave us faith. He gave us hope. And He showed us a love that we never knew before. You say, well, that was on the cross. Let me tell you, when I wasn't saved, I didn't have faith. I thought I could do it all my own. When I wasn't saved, I didn't have hope, that kind of hope that I'm speaking about. I didn't have that hope. I had a hope that I would be able to do it. And I didn't have a love that was a pure love. I had a love that was a deceiving love. This world taught me a deceiving love for what I saw growing up and how I had to adjust to love. I had to adjust to it according to what I learned. But when Jesus came into my life, that whole character was broken. Now I see people differently. Now I have a hope that's endearing. Now I have faith that's capitalizing, not financially, but capitalizing in everything that it reaches out for. It takes me there and I receive what He has. And I've got a promise from God that will not end. Right. An eternal promise. We'll say, Pastor, God's promised me something that I don't really, it's pretty big. Praise God. If God's given you a big promise, embrace it. If God's given you a small promise, embrace it and watch it grow. There is something really great about it when what we have to understand that we can't be separated from the love of God in Romans 8. It literally states that in 31 through 39. But we cannot be separated from the love of God. The Bible says in the book of Revelations that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of our lips, and we don't even love our life even as unto death. It states that we are more than conquerors. Angels can't take it from us. Heights, death, nothing can take it from us. In other words, God put a list there of everything that you would think of that could be able to take it from you, and nothing's going to take you from being more than a conqueror. You are a warrior for God. You are a soldier for Christ. You are a believer in the kingdom principles. You've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. And you do not make room anymore. If you got worry in your mind today, stop worrying. God's got it in control. God can take care of it. You know, God, I made a mistake. You know what I love about God? Not only did He give His heart for me, His love for me, and His Son for me. Not only did He do those three things, but when I make a mistake, God's ready to forgive me. God's ready to set me free. And I've made a lot of mistakes. People make mistakes when you're walking in this world. You make mistakes. Even when you're walking in the kingdom, you make mistakes. And you go to God and say, oh man, I blew it again. God said, yeah, I knew you were going to blow it before you even did it, but I already forgave you. That's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't get out some sort of a strap or a belt or some sort of an item to swat at us to make us feel horrible and to go in the corner and sit down. You know, when I was in grade school back in Cleveland, Ohio, do you know where I had to sit? Everybody else had a nice seat in the classroom. Mine was all the way up front, all the way to the chalkboard. They were all behind me and I sat up there. I couldn't turn around and look or I'd get my knuckles slapped. I had to sit there and stare. Did I deserve to be up there? Yeah, I did, because I made havoc in the classroom. I made a mess in the classroom. The teacher was a teacher and I'd go, ah! like that, you know. So it's just, I had to be up there. And then when I started to turn up there, she drew a little circle on the chalkboard. And the sister said, now I want you to go right up there and stand and put your nose there. You know, it kind of gets a bummer, man, when you're sitting there looking at a chalkboard at 2 inches away and you're, well, however long my nose is, it wasn't 2 inches. But anyhow, there, and you're staring at it, and your nose is in there, and everybody else is giggling behind you. Then you kind of feel like you're alone. Well, God will never make you feel alone. God will always draw you close. If you make a mistake, if you act foolish, God will get you alone and he'll speak to your heart. But you're never alone because the angels of the Lord are there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are there. And he's loving you and he's taking you to where you need to be. He doesn't push you down. He doesn't throw you aside. He lifts you up because you are worth it. You're worth it. Don't let fear and doubt and worry come into your life and destroy what God is doing for you emotionally, because you have a control switch there. You can say no to those things. You can say no to it. And you can say no. What happens with Peter had walked on the water? He freaked out when he got out in the water. Now, I know a lot of people said, I wouldn't if I would have walked right to Jesus. You know you wouldn't. If you, most of us wouldn't even get out of the boat. He walked on the water and he looked at his failures, his fears, his frustrations, his cruelties. He looked at all these things and he sunk. What did Jesus do? He could have let him drown. But just like you and I, when we get out that boat and we start walking towards Jesus and we sink, he reaches down. You know, I love it because Peter was no small guy. He was huge. Big dude. He picked him up like he was a feather. And carried him to that boat and made him safe again. You see, that's what God will do through his love, through faith, and through hope. He'll get you back to that boat. He'll place you there. And he may ask you, why did you doubt? Why do we doubt? Please don't answer that right now, but I'm asking you to answer that yourself in your own heart. Why do we doubt what God has told us he's going to do? Well, I'll tell you, there's two things that happen. I'm closing. Two things that happen when we begin to doubt. People start to tell you it's never going to happen. Some of your closest friends, some of your family, maybe even be your wife or your husband. This is never going to happen. This cannot happen. Let me tell you something about God. If God said it, it's going to happen. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly how to bless you. And the second thing that happens is that instead of you having faith and hope and love, you begin to receive it, the doubt. When you receive it, everything goes south. The weather of life changes. How many's ever had a great day? Raise your hand if you've had a great day. Well, some of you need to have a great day. I'm just joking. But listen to me. Listen to this. Then the next day you woke up and it was a horrible day. It just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. You got to your place of employment and things were crazy. You got something in the mail that just blew all your financial dreams out the window. Something's gone wrong. Your day is now horrible. The day before was awesome. Matter of fact, you were walking on air to the mailbox. You were feeling so good. Everything was beautiful. But then the next day, do not let the weather of life stop you from pure worship before God. Don't let that happen to you. Allow your life to walk in faith, hope, and love. Walk every day in those steps, believing God for what he promised, hoping that it's going to come about very soon, and loving everybody you come in contact with the love of Jesus Christ. Let that control your life. Amen? It's so important that we see that. We have to understand what God is saying to us. Let me close with this scripture. Isaiah 41:10. I love this scripture. You probably already know it before I say it. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God speaking to us. Fear not. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself today. How often do you allow the enemies of your soul to break in to the harbor of your joy? It just comes in. Close that door.